The reading from the prologue from Ohrid, April 2nd. On this day we commemorate our Holy Father Titus the Wonder Worker. He conceived a love for Christ from his earliest years and despised the vanities of the world. For his sake he left the world, went off to a monastery, and received the angelic habit. With not a backward glance, he gave himself to the sober and narrow way of monasticism. Through great patience, he attained the two basic virtues of humility and obedience. And in these virtues he exceeded not only the brethren, but all men. He preserved his purity of soul and body right from his youth. In the time of the iconoclast heresy, he was seen to be a steadfast pillar of the Church of God. For his great humility and purity, he was endowed by God with the gift of wonder-working, both in his lifetime and after his death. And when he went to the Lord, he left a large number of disciples behind him. He entered peacefully into rest in the 9th century. On this day, we also commemorate the holy martyrs Amphianus and Adesius. These two young men were brothers from the town of Patara, of eminent but pagan parents. While studying secular learning in Beirut, they were enlightened by the Spirit of God, and understanding the falseness of paganism, came to perceive the truth of Christianity. Then, when they returned home, they could no longer live with their pagan parents and kinsmen, but fled in secret to Caesarea in Palestine, to a priest, Pamphilus, known for his purity and spiritual learning. With Pamphilus, they were instructed in the law of God day and night, and practiced Christian asceticism. Of Amphianus, it is said that he had a 20-year-old body, but the understanding and greatness of soul of a centenarian. When a persecution arose under Maximian, many Christians fled from the town and hid, while others voluntarily and joyfully gave themselves into the torturer's hands to be able to suffer for the name of the one who first suffered for them. Amphianus was among these last. He came fearlessly into the pagan temple, where the governor, Urban, was offering sacrifice to idols, and seizing the hand with which the prince was making the offering, cried out to him to leave the service of and sacrifice to dead idols and to come to the knowledge of the true God. Some of those who heard his words and saw Amphianus's great courage repented and embraced the Christian faith. But the enraged prince put him to torture. Among other tortures, his legs were wrapped in cotton, which was then ignited. Then, while he was still alive, they threw him into the sea with a stone round his neck. The sea became stormy and cast the martyr's body ashore in the town. Adesius was first sent to a copper mine in Palestine and then taken to Egypt. In Alexandria, he was filled with holy zeal against Heracles, the governor, who had been buying Christian nuns, virgins, and pious women and giving them to the most shameless prostitutes for ridicule. Adesius, filled with holy zeal, smote the dishonorable prince. For this he was tortured and drowned in the sea like his brother Amphianus. As two innocent lambs, they were slain for Christ in about 306 and went to the glorious courts of the Lord. For consideration, it is better to be ignorant but draw near to God in love than to be very learned and at the same time an enemy of God. These are the words of St. Irenaeus, the Hieromartyr of Lyon. The truth of these words has been confirmed through the ages and is confirmed in our own day. Only one thing needs to be added to this, that those who love God are not ignoramuses because they know God well enough to love him. Of all human knowledge, this is the first and highest. And it must also be added that the enemies of God cannot be very learned, although they may think they are, because their knowledge is inevitably chaotic, having no head or order. For the head and order of all knowledge is God. Some of the saints, like Paul the Simple, did not know how to read or write, but by the strength of their spirit and their divine love, surpassed the whole world. He who draws near to God in love is incapable of evil doing, but learning without love for God is inspired by the spirit of wickedness and strife. Saint Euthymius the Great taught, "Have love, for as salt is to food, so is love to every virtue. Every virtue that is not salted and warmed with divine love is tasteless and cold." To ponder, let me ponder on the Lord Jesus in hell. First, how his plan of salvation was detailed, embracing all generations and all ages from the beginning to the end. Second, how he came to earth in the flesh, not only for those who were alive at that time or would be alive thereafter, but also for those who had already lived their earthly lives. And third, how he, while his dead body lay in the tomb, descended in spirit into hell to bring salvation and freedom to the captives. Homily on the living God and his living children. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Romans 14:8. Whose are we while we live? The Lord's. Whose are we when we die? The Lord's. Whose are the righteous? The Lord's. Whose are the sinners? The Lord's. The Lord encompasses all, the living and the dead, the present, the past, and the future. There is no one as all-embracing as the Lord Jesus, who from among the so-called benefactors of humanity, the teachers, leaders, or enlighteners, has ever attempted to do any good to the dead. It is possible to reply decisively, never, and no one. The idea itself would be laughable in the eyes of the whole world, to do some good to the dead. It is laughable to all who reckon that death is more powerful than God, and that that which is swallowed by death is annihilated forever. But to care for the dead, to do good to the dead, stopped being laughable from the time of the revelation of the Lord Jesus that God is the God of the living, and he showed it in his actions by descending into hell to free and save the souls of the righteous dead from Adam to the time of his death on the cross. Our Lord is all-embracing, glorified in that, both by his discerning thoughts, for he thinks of all and sees all who are born of woman, above the earth or in the earth, and by his love, for he embraces all righteous souls without consideration of what time or place contains them. And lastly, by his labors, for he labors for them all, he frees them all, saves them, and leads them to the kingdom and the glory before the face of his heavenly Father, of the holy and life-giving Spirit, and the numberless hosts of the holy angels. O Lord, to thee be praise and glory forever. Amen.